for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2016 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, December the 31st, 2016, Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Misunderstanding the Lord.
Well, we want to talk about misunderstanding the Lord. Misunderstanding Him. And this came out of a thought the Lord gave me in the jail service. I wasn't incarcerated, I don't care. I'm not going there. But praise God, Tuesday night. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this wonderful congregation, Father. Thank You, Lord, for this camp, for everything, Lord, that You have spoken to us and for everyone You touch, Lord, because we know if Your Holy Spirit doesn't come, we won't have anything. If Your Spirit doesn't come, Lord, nothing's going to work. Praise God. But, Lord, if You send Your Spirit, if You send Your Spirit, good things are going to happen. And Lord, we're looking for that every service, Lord. Praise God. And every time we go to You in prayer in private, Lord. Lord, praise God. Thank You. You're everything. You're everything. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. I want to begin with Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. I didn't give all this in the jail. You don't really have time. This Tuesday when we were there, we're walking out and the gentleman that's in charge, sometimes they're kind of rowdy, you know what I'm saying, in the jail. And he said, oh, you could have heard a pan drop. You could have heard a pan drop. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. If He comes, everything's going to be okay. Everything. Hallelujah. That's all we need. It's for Him to come. Well, Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, the religious hierarchy, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him. Now, he's right in line with the prophecies, but they're kind of ignorant of the prophecies, you know, or don't understand them. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. That's just a strange picture to me. Peter got a little big for his britches, and he's going to rebuke the Lord. How many times have we done it? I mean, really? Lord, You don't care. Lord this, Lord that, you know. And began to rebuke Him, say, if you just look at the Lord, He put up with a lot out of these 12 men and a lot of other people. He put up with out of His own family. One time His family came to get Him, to rescue Him. They thought He lost it. And they were outside and they said, well, your mother and your brethren are out there. And He said, who's my brethren? Who's my sister? So is it the will of God. And said, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you. Now I'm going to tell you why it says that. Because it's getting too close to Him. You understand? That's getting too close to Him. We don't want this, Lord. We're not going to talk about this. This is not what we're planning. This is, you know. And if you also look at it, these 12 men have invested everything in Jesus. They left their jobs, they left their homes, they left their families. In one place they said, we left all to follow You. And they did. Now they've got a lot invested. And He's starting to talk about that. Where's that going to leave them? You know, is this just a little over a 3-year vacation? They've been on it. It certainly wasn't a vacation. What is this? And He is concerned. And how many times has God taken you and I, it seemed like out on a limb, and He's going to leave us out there? It looks like He is. You know, Lord, I thought You said do this. Lord, I thought You said this is what You want. One time he told them to get in a ship and go to the other side, and they encountered a terrible storm. Lord, I thought you told us to do this. And it's like Moses, when the Lord spoke to him out of the bush, said, you're going to go deliver my people. And so, and the Lord told him, though, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. I'm going to harden his heart. Well, when he goes and God does exactly like he says, then Moses gets all upset and starts arguing with the Lord, Lord, you haven't done what you said. Well, so there's a lot of concern here. Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. He's really saying it shall not be unto me. You know, I don't like this. But he turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind. That's like the John the Baptist calling his congregation the brood of vipers. That's a real church building, attendance building, isn't it? And he's called him Satan. Most of us have been so highly offended. You know, if you don't say the right words, you don't smile, you don't do this, you don't do that. I might have told you, but one time Brother Clinton, it's a large church in Beaumont, Texas, and this man always sat on the front pew. Well, on Sunday mornings on the front pew, on Sunday night he's on the back pew. And he went to him and said, Brother, what's wrong? He said, well, you didn't shake my hand this morning. So he's going to move to the back pew. Brother Clinton, he doesn't put up with stuff like that. He told him, said, Brother, there's one of me and a whole bunch of you. You come to me, you know. I just put in long words here. I'm not chasing you down, brother. And that's not the way this thing works. He would tell people, he would say this, if you come here and you don't like the way we do it, don't try to change us. You go down the road where they do it like you, the way you like it. And, praise God. One time this, a lady came, she hadn't been there long, and she didn't like the way things were going. She made an appointment with one of the ushers. They wear red coats, I don't know if they still do. And so they made an appointment, and she showed up, and he took her and took her back down and opened the door and shoved her in and said, she won't talk to the board. Here's the board. This Brother Clinton is sitting there at his desk. And but anyway, let's go here. Praise God. Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense unto me. I don't want him to be an offense to the Lord, do you? You're an offense to me. What have we done that's an offense to him? Well, I've done a lot of things, and I'm sorry for it. Are you savorous? Are you don't understand? Are you don't see? Are you not thinking about the things that be of God, but those that be of men? You got a man's mind in this thing. You're thinking like the world. Praise God. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is, real Christianity is very radical. Real Christianity demands a commitment that most people won't pay. Most people sitting on church pews are not paying. They're there to get what they can get. However that is, whatever it is, to be seen of men, to make a business deal, they're an insurance salesman, or they're there because they have problems, they're there because they need healing, they whatever it is. And actually, some of those things, we come to Christ on account of those things. The prodigal son would have never went home to his father if he hadn't ended up in the hog pen. So the hog pen's an anointed place. It's like the one thief that hung beside Jesus and died there. But it's the best place he could have ever been. I mean, it was the ultimate. He is blessed of God to be on that cross beside the Lord, because what? It meant his salvation. And the Lord said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. That's just pretty good, isn't it? So it's a good place to be. Where is God? What cross has the Lord put you on? What hog pen is it that you fall into? You know, it's a good thing. Praise God. Are you mad at God tonight? You think he's not doing what he's supposed to? You know what? If you are, it's because you don't understand. That's what we're talking about. You don't understand, like Peter here, you don't understand the things of the Lord. You're thinking like a man. You're thinking carnal. So it takes a radical dedication. Very few people have fully surrendered to the Lord. You know that, so. Very, very, very few are really doing the will of God. Partially, maybe, but where does that land King Saul when he did part of it? He lost the kingdom. If we're going to really, you know, few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Praise God. What does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world? And you're not going to gain the whole world, so why even try? And lose your own soul, and what shall man give in exchange for his soul? So he said, you don't understand the things that be of God. Here, what he's saying, you don't have the mind of God. Or, if you want to put it that way, you don't have the mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, he said, let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to grasp. You know, my rights. We're all worried about our rights. People in the church are worried about their rights. You let her sing one more time than you let me sing. You know, you did this, and they're not worried about the where you go, they're worried about the rights. It's my turn. And he said, but made himself of no reputation. The New American Standard says he emptied himself. It's a very important principle there. He made himself, and we're so worried about reputation, aren't we? People have died for the reputation. They have. Many of them have. Nations go to war over their reputation. But he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Peter, are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Praise God. You'll go further humbling yourself. Actually, you'll go nowhere if you don't humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. And so we go on and read, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now Jesus said, heretofore you have not prayed and asked anything in my name, but now you ask the Father in my name. Very important that we ask in his name. It is, there's power in the name of Jesus. When they went into the, Peter and John go up to the temple, the lame man there, and silver, gold have we none, the session we have we given. You can't give what you don't have. And they took him by the hand. That's the transference of the power of God. It's like when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, I felt virtue, meaning power, go out of me. The power of God is a tangible thing. It's real. It's not hocus pocus or something. It is real. You have it. You can give it. You can lay hands on. That's why we lay hands on people. And there's a transference of the power of you going into them. Praise God. I know what I'm talking about. And just because it's never happened for you doesn't mean it's not so. But you can only give what you have. The kingdom of God is not in word. We find in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 4. Not in word, but in power. Power. And then in the second chapter, he said, I come not to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And so when we minister the word, but we also must minister the Spirit. If we only minister the word and not the Spirit, we've only given them half of the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, and that Jesus was at the right hand of the Father, pouring out what you now see and hear. You are hearing something, but you're seeing something too. There are things to see, that's the action of God, the working of God, and then hearing are the words of God. You have to have them both. This is what God has shown me. To just talk to people, teach people, preach to people, and then send them out the door. If someone wants to come, what do they call that? Transfer their letter to your church or whatever. But otherwise you send them home. I'll tell you why that happens, because whoever's behind that pulpit doesn't have it. You hear what I'm saying? Because if they had it, they'd want to give it away. And they would be able to say, such as I have, I give unto you. We give what we have. I know I'm kind of getting off there, but. So, will God give it to you? Yes, He'll give it to you, and it'll work anywhere you go. Wherever He sends you, I should say. It'll work in the store, it'll work on the job, it'll work in the home, it better work everywhere. I tell those young men in that church, if this thing doesn't work in this jail, it doesn't work. You know that? It doesn't work. It doesn't work here. You can't say, well, I'm in jail. It's not going to work here. You did this, we got that. Some people say, well, my wife keeps me from living for God, or my husband keeps me from living for God. What did Jesus say? Two shall be in the bed, one taking the other left. Well, one of them didn't let the other one hinder them. Two, working in the mill, one taking the other left. Well, I can't live for God, these people I work with. That's not so. Two in the field, one taking the other left. You can live for God wherever you are, whatever your circumstance is. Whether it's easier or whether it's difficult, you can live for God. Quit the excuses. What do you want to do? And let me tell you this. He said, if you're ashamed of me for this wicked world, I'll be ashamed of you for my Father and the holy angels. He said, in another place, if you deny me, in other words, you hide me, you neglect, you're not letting people know, you're not taking the gospel to them. I'll deny you before my Father. Well, praise God. So they're there, and this man, they take him by the hand, they speak the word of God in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, take him by the hand. You have the word, and you have the transference of power. By the doctrine, it's called the doctrine of laying on the hands. It is called a doctrine. And he said, if any sick among you, let him call Phil's church, anoint him along, pray the prayer of faith. Well, you can't anoint him unless you put your hand on him. I don't think, well, you could pour it on him, but you know, you put your hand on him. And then he said, these signs will fall in that believe. And he said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not just a symbolic thing. Do you always have to touch them? No, you don't. But it is the normal way that God, the normal way, we had a lady evangelist come and we had a 6-week revival. And I watched that lady, and this is something the Lord taught me, and she'd pray for a few people. She didn't care if it was midnight before she got through. And people were willing to stay there. But she's the first person I ever saw pray people through to prophesy. I've seen them pray them through to speaking in tongues, but she'd pray them through to prophesy. And it prophesied. It was good. Well, she would go a little ways and stop and worship the Lord in tongues and sing hymns. What was she doing? She was renewing. She was, you edify yourself. She was building herself up so she could go on in that prayer line. I learned that early on. If you don't do that, you'll run out of gas somewhere pretty quick. It's all gone. What you had's gone. Well, so if that is a very important principle. Smith Wigglesworth, you've heard this. There's a lot of his books over here. Awesome, awesome. Raised those people from the dead, all the things. He didn't even start preaching until he's 50 years old. Well, he one time wanted to... He felt the need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he called it. So he got between the train cars. He's on the train. And it didn't take him long. It shouldn't take you or me long. It shouldn't take us long. You know that? What if you're fixing me in a car accident, you got about 3 seconds. It shouldn't take you long to touch God. You don't have time to go through your list of sins. So, he got refilled. He said, glorious refilled, went back in, sat down in the whole train car. Everybody in there fell on their knees repenting. Well, you can have something to give. Praise God. Okay, so, the name of Jesus. But don't try to... Okay, so they said, how'd you do this? He said, don't look on us as if it was by our own power or holiness. That's where the devil tried to get you. You're not holy enough. I talked about that condemning thing. He'll try to condemn you. Not by our own power, holiness. Not that we're going around being sloppy and living for God and just, you know, being careless. He's not saying that. I know these men work. You get really full of the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit, you know, it's just going to work. You're not going to want to do those things. So, then they said, by what authority? But he said, by the name of Jesus. There's such power in his name. But then there's seven sons of Sceva tried to use his name. And when they tried to use his name, that one man jumped on and tore them up. And they ran out of the house naked and wounded and bleeding. Why? Because that one demon in that man said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? So we cannot attempt to use his name when we don't have the anointing to back it up. That's why I feel very strongly. I know it's right. The devil does not have to obey anything but a prophetic voice. Why did the sickness, why did all these things, why did the winds and the waves, why did the dead come out of the tomb? Because when he spoke, it was prophetic. What do you mean prophetic? I never say a word I don't hear my Father say. It's straight from the throne of God, what he says. Straight from the throne of God. It's prophetic. And if Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking that through you, things are going to change. Things are going to happen. Praise God. So you can spend, I know people preaching, it takes them, they can't preach whatever, maybe twice a month, because it takes them that long to get a sermon together. Where I'm going with this is, you're going to have to walk the walk and live the life and stay connected to God at all times, be instant in season, out of season. So, praise God. Now we want to go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, or he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Galilee being up above Jerusalem and around the Sea of Galilee, he wouldn't go down to Judea. Now, at one time, the king of Israel split, you know, in the northern part that was called the king of Israel, the southern part that only two tribes, tribe of Benjamin and Judah, were called the kingdom of Judah. So, he goes back up there, stay out of their way. Praise God. If you look at the life of Christ, he did not tempt God. You know, in fact, one time they were going to crown him, try to forcibly take him to crown the king. He just slipped through them. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, these are his half-brothers, okay? His brethren therefore said unto him, listen to this, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. In other words, go show off. Go impress. Go do your thing. We had a man, an assistant pastor, and his mother would tell him, you need to get out of this hole. She called Peerless a hole. You need to get out of this hole, get out there, you're a great minister, and let the world see you and all this. Same thing they're saying here. And you'll hear it too if you really, it's one of those ploys, distractions, things the devil does. The devil's always trying to move you away from the place God puts you. Do you know that? Always offering you something, trying to discourage you, whatever he can come up with, trying to move you away from the place God puts you. Well, I've been here too long. Or they don't appreciate me anymore. Or these new people have come in, and I feel like I'm getting shoved out. It just goes on and on and on. Actually, he will do what he thinks will work on you. Now, they said, here's their reason. They're just like Peter, talking just like Peter. For there's no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do this, and there's that word if. Who else said that to him? Well, the devil did in the wilderness. If you be the Son of God. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. You know, get on with it. For neither did his brethren, this is sad, believe in him. And you know they didn't. But later on they did. And one of his half-brothers wrote the Epistle of James. So they didn't believe in him at that time. Well, you want to use the excuse, my family doesn't, you know, agree with what I'm doing. They don't like it. I feel alienated. Whatever. Oh, just get over it. You're going to follow the Lord or not? You're going to follow him or not? We're talking about a full surrender. In spite of what people think. There's a lady in our church. Her two daughters, and God would mildly touch her and bless her. Her husband threatened to divorce her. She didn't get out of that holy road of church. So she got out. He divorced her anyway. One daughter's already dead. Drug overdose. The other daughter I don't really know about. She became one of the meanest women I've ever had to deal with in the community. Called me up on the phone and cursed me and cussed me. And this is a lady, I laid hands on her and the Lord would mightily come on her. And then she's cussing me and lying on me. Well, praise God, you know. Let me say this. Whatever you give up God for, you will lose. That is a law and a principle, and you will not get around it. Whatever you try to do, this book works. All of it works. Every bit of it works. And nobody's ever been able to get around it or prove it wrong. Or have things different. It just not. You're a fool if you try. Well, she lost her husband, but he divorced her anyway. Now, then verse 6, Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is ready, or always ready. This is, your time is always ready. The people of this world can do what they want to, whenever they want to. But if you're really walking with God, let's put it like the Bible said, if you're being led by the Spirit, you can't just go and do what you want to. You can't. Jesus, we know, is led by the Spirit. He is full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, goes in the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He is constrained. He is boxed in. I've heard people complain about it. I feel like I'm boxed. I'm tired of this. I'm getting out of this. I mean, just, you know, whatever. I've told you, I've told this here before. There used to be a nightclub right outside of Sulphur Springs, and it was called Bust and Loose. It's very appropriate. It burnt down. Thank you, Jesus. It burnt to the ground. Fairly new nightclub, too. And awesome. It was a beautiful thing. Well, bust and loose. No, you stay where God put you. You don't move unless he tells you to. You don't buy that car. You don't marry that person. You don't go to that college. You don't watch that TV show. In fact, you don't even get a TV unless he tells you to. You do what he tells you to do. Because you're not in charge. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Are you or are you? You've got to settle that. We have to settle that. He said, I can't go. You can go anytime. And, you know, we get tired. Well, I don't get to do this. I don't get to do that. This is hard being a Christian. Bless your heart. You don't have to fry in hell if you'll really do what God says. That is just so wrong, you know, that you go to praise God. Well, he said, the world cannot hate you. You know, I missed out on so much. I've just missed out on so much. Yeah, you did. Thank God. Thank God. I see these people that are on meth with their teeth, half their teeth, or whatever missing. I'm sorry for them. We had some there in our Shiloh house. One young lady, and I'm sorry to say this, but she had just got her teeth. Got her income tax return, got her new set of teeth. She left there, and she went wacko on us, kind of. She got involved in drugs again. And I took the keys away from her and some other things, but somebody else bought her a truck. And I believe the first or second day she had it, she hit a tree and cut herself in half. And the new teeth didn't do a lot of good. I'm not being ugly. But, so you missed out on a lot. Yeah, got to keep your teeth. You missed out on losing your teeth. You missed out on jail terms. You missed out on liver cancer. You missed out on AIDS. You missed out on sexually transmitted diseases. You missed out on bone cancer. You missed out, oh, praise God, I just missed out on so much. The world cannot hate you, but it hated me. Because I testify of it, and it'll hate, Jesus said, they hate me, they'll hate you if you do the same thing he does. And all that live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That the works thereof are evil. I testify, I say what they are. Go you up to the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. We've got to know his timing. Right? We've got to know his timing. We've got to find his timing. When he's not talking to you, then that means don't do anything. It means don't do anything. For 7 years, it's a long time ago, but we were doing good. We moved in our new church. It was the largest the attendance has ever been. It was just wonderful. God made me promises about that church, and I thought, well, he's doing it. But then it's like somebody flipped the switch, and I knew who it was God, and almost emptied that church. Different things. Some of them got mad at me and left. Can you imagine they got mad at me? And different things happened and they left. We had 11 left over and that left after all this. The dust settled. And some of them were children. And it's the only time ever in 38 years, over 38 years now, that I thought we would have to close the church because we couldn't pay the bills. This is all during the time that I'm trusting God because he said, I'll take better care of you than Safeway if you'll stay with this church. It's the same time. Praise God. 7 years, folks. 7 years it was like that. I would go up there to the church. I just lived down the road, walk up there and fall on the platform and just fall and cry and get up and go home. But I felt better. I've told you this. Brother Clendenin was facing a tremendous financial, I think he had 30,000 for you, I don't know what it was, the next day. He fasted, he prayed, he was up at the church during the night, he felt relief, went home with the bed, told his wife, God heard me. Then he woke up, felt like he needed to go back to the church. And she said, well, I thought you got victory. I thought you got deliverance on this. I don't know, but I gotta go. And he went up there and he was down at the altar praying again. And it was still dark outside. And somehow a lady had got into the church and he didn't even know, walked up and tapped him on the back. And said, I want to give some money. Can I give some money to this church? He said, yeah, but the office is not open yet. Well, we'll just do it right here. And so she lays out, I'm sorry, I can't remember, $30,000 or $40,000 cash on that altar. And that's why the Lord wanted me back up there, because he was sending somebody there with the money. So these times I go there and I lay on that platform, bawling, bawling. I just know somebody's going to come tap me on the shoulder. Unfortunately, no one ever did in 7 years. Not just one night, in 7 years. But you know what? Praise God, he saw us through it. But the thing is, during that 7 years, I knew there were people out that left that would just wait for me to leave so they'd come back in, you know, and get control and have it. I knew that. And it came and said, they think I'm trying to outweigh them. They're crazy. Why? If God would not let me go anywhere. It wasn't that, he just wouldn't tell me anywhere to go. And I knew better to go out and try to find a place to go. And so I stayed. And I wasn't trying to outweigh them. It would have been easier to go somewhere else. But that wasn't the issue, praise God. Now, I would like to go to, let's see where we want to go next. Praise God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. It's a little bit over to the right there. Acts chapter 1. This is going to seem a little out of order by doing this, but this is what I need to do. I always try to stay in chronological order when I'm preaching. But we see here that, verse 2, until the day in which Jesus was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Right there tells you how he heard the Father. I never say anything I don't hear the Father say. How do you hear? Through the Holy Ghost, the open heaven. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that's after his death, by many infallible proofs, such as Thomas, you put your hand in my side, put your finger in my, your fingers in my palm, and the scars, many infallible proofs, being seen in them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Now, men can baptize in water, but no man can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But the progression here, the progression is here. It's also in chapter 2. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, you'll receive the promise of the Father. You are not to stop. In Acts 19, those men of Ephesus were hung up in the baptism of John. But Paul said, hey, there's another baptism, okay? If you look in chapter 18, Apollos, they took him aside and explained him more perfectly the way. And you know what, you can read there, what's, they told him about the Holy Ghost just like those men at Ephesus, because Apollos becomes a totally different man. And he didn't go to seminary to become different. Something happened just like on the day of Pentecost, when the people were totally transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, and when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What are they doing? They're talking like Peter. They're talking like Jesus' brothers. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Not thinking like Jesus thinks. Not having the mind of Christ, which we talked about. But are you going to restore your kingdom? I'm kind of amazed at, you know, the prophecy people. I know people that... There's one young man texts me every time something happens on the world scene. Oh, we're getting closer. You know, he's all hung up in that. I'll tell you, we need to be hung up in Jesus and full of the Holy Ghost. He said, get your mind off all those peripheral things. Receive the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness not for, it does not say for me, it says unto me. There's a world of difference between being a witness for Jesus. When you're a witness for Jesus, you're in charge. You're doing it. But when you're a witness unto him, he's in charge, because that means you've got to become like him. You become what I am. You be able to say, like when they said, show us the Father, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? And we're supposed to be able, when people look at us, that they see Jesus. Because we're made in the same image, we're conformed to him, he's formed in us, we're transformed. Now, the last place I want to look is Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, disappointed in Jesus. And this is the part that the Lord gave me there to those men in the prison. I hear them, and it saddens my heart, but I hear them come in, and this, I told you this one man, he just been told he had, they'd given him 45 years in prison term, and he was just devastated. Wouldn't talk to anybody, wouldn't quit crying, wouldn't eat. And then this one young black man came in and just fell on me after we got through and wanted me to pray for him. He said, I went to court. I didn't expect to get 10 years, but I did. He didn't think that would happen. And I could read what, see, they come in there and they, I'm not saying all, but some come and they think because I'm going to church here in jail and I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to get a lighter sentence. God's going to be good to me. God's going to, you know, I'm getting brownie points with the Lord. I'm something. And so the Lord, this is what he gave me. Are you disappointed in the Lord? You went to court. It didn't turn out like you thought. You thought your wife would stick with you, but she didn't. You hear some terrible things. Some of them take the kids and take off, and these guys never see them again. They lose everything. Basically, if you get arrested and go any time sitting in jail, you're going to lose everything you got. Because you can't make your car payments. You can't pay your rent or your house payments. You can't do because you're locked up. If you even have a job when you get out, it's a lose everything sentence is what it is. Your life is totally, totally turned upside down because you're sitting in there. I was reading there's states that if you get arrested, you have to pay a $25 booking fee whether you're ever charged or whether you're ever found guilty. Doesn't matter if you're totally innocent. If they made a mistake, you still pay a $25 booking fee to be booked in. This is going to the Supreme Court, by the way. Because a man, they did this to a man. He had $46 when he went in. They confiscated his money, took $25 for the booking fee, put the rest on a debit card, and all the fees ate it up until he had $1.26 left. Now, praise God. It's hard. And you can say, well, it's their fault. But you and I know everyone's sitting there. There's a lot of us would have been in prison if we'd have been caught. And I told them Tuesday night, the only difference between you and the ones out there is you got caught. There's white collar crime. There's all kinds of things going on. And they got caught. But I told them, if you'll receive it, if you're his, you belong to him. He orchestrated you being here. He allowed you, so to speak, to be caught for your own good. Just like he allowed that one man to be on the cross hanging beside Jesus. Best thing could have ever happened to him. Well, so disappointed. And behold, two of them, this is after his resurrection, the same day of his resurrection, that same day, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 64 furlongs, not far. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, did something to their eyes that they could not behold him. It wasn't because he looked necessarily different, but their eyes were, you understand that their eyes were holding. Basically, they're blind to who he is. And there's a purpose in that. What is it said? That they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? You're sad. You know, the rich young ruler was disappointed in Jesus. And he walked away sad. When Jesus told him, have to sell everything, give it to the poor, come and follow me. He'd lose his position, lose his stuff. He was sad, went away sad. So they're sad. They're disappointed in Jesus. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem, and you do not know the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Now, he's not lying to them. He wants them to express. Just like blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Well, hey, I'm blind, you know. Heal these eyes. But you're supposed to, you have not because you ask. It's a principle of God. And we may not like his principle. We may not think it's fair, but that's too bad. I said it's too bad. You'll do his principle or you won't get anything. He's in charge, not us. Have you figured that out, that he's in charge? And he told Paul, said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. So just keep kicking till your foot's a bloody stub if you want to. Keep beating your head against the wall, or do it his way. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before the Lord. Now there you have the works and the word again. See, it's right there. It's supposed to have both of them before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now here's the disappointment. But we trusted that it had been he. We trusted that he was the one that should have redeemed Israel. Beside all that, now, there it is. We thought he was going to be this. We thought he was going to be that. We thought he was going to, how many times have you thought he was going to do this and you thought he was going to do that, but he didn't do what you thought and you're just, we thought. We trusted, but it didn't work. Praise God. I'm going to tell you this, it never has to be that way. It never has to be that way. It's the same as Peter. Lord, no, you're not going to do this. This shall not be to you. They just, see, they're not comprehending. It's like when they said, well, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel this time? No. That's not, get on the same page he's on. The same wavelength, the same thought length, you know, process. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So it's just, you know, our whole thing blown up in our face. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen the vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, Jesus said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do you want him to have to call you a fool or call you Satan? Well, that just offends me. Well, it's too bad. Get over it. You know, just get over it. Let me tell you this. He's in the driver's seat. Have you found that out yet? Do it his way. Just submit. Quit arguing. Quit thinking you know more than him. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How long does it take us? You know, the other day the Lord spoke something to me and I was so excited, but I'm finding out I'm having a hard time coming up to it. Art not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. They could have seen it themselves. But they're too busy watching TV to read the Bible. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and Jesus made as though he would have gone further. Now, this is a principle. He made as if he would have gone further. He would have walked on had they not done what they're fixing to do. When they were on the ship and sinking from the storm, Jesus came walking on the water, and you read it, he said he would have kept going, but they cried out. If you don't cry out, he's going to go on and you're going down in the swirl, in the drain. Moses was out there tending the sheep and the bush caught on fire. They say it was not unusual due to the heat. It ignited just spontaneously. That wasn't a big deal. It says, but he noticed that it was not being consumed. So it said he turned and looked. And when he turned and looked, God talked to him out of that bush. He's trying to get your attention, but we're so busy doing what we want to do, what we think's right, and what somebody says right, and we won't slow down, we won't hear his voice, and you're missing it. And I'm missing it. Because we have got it all figured out. We don't have anything figured out. You know that? Just come to that conclusion. The song says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. And we sing that, but I guess we're thinking about our car payment, you know. So, he made as if he would have gone further.
But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them, to be with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He's gone. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? When you read the Bible, does your heart burn in you? Or are you just trying to get that verse read for the day? That verse. Maybe you read five, maybe you're doing better. Does your heart burn in you? Does it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Is your heart burning in you? Have you found the truth that's feeding your soul? You know, I this is what I love. When I'm working on a sermon, and I get blessed working on the sermon, I get blessed. Praise God. Woo, glory to God. This is good, you know. What he's showing me. I'm not talking about me being smart and figuring something out, you know. I've known pastors that was one of I've preached for him several times at Fort Worth. And he said, listen to this, this will preach. I'm not interested in something that'll preach. I want to hear what he has to say to you or to whoever I'm preaching to or to me. And so their heart burned. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way of what happened to them and how he's known of them in the breaking of bread. If they had not constrained him, they wouldn't have had a revelation of Jesus. Praise God. Are you disappointed in him? It didn't turn out like you thought. That's the problem out there, like we thought. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Lean not to your own understanding. We heard that in one of the messages. But we leaned on understanding. Oh, praise God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Jane, what we want to do, if it's okay, if you want prayer after we do this, we want to partake of communion. I believe it's very appropriate for this afternoon. And end of this year, this new year. And I just feel like, here we are together. We're a body. We're one body. But we're gonna partake of the Lord's Supper together. And then, as I said, if you want prayer afterwards, we'll certainly do that. We're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That's the way it's supposed to happen, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. For you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had drank of it, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. Praise God. What that new covenant cost him is blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. I'm like what I'm like. Thank you. I'd like for you to come this way and come by the table here and take a cup. Take the bread and just let's start here and stand across. And everybody hold the bread and the cup during the sermon. Praise God. This is not a close communion. Praise God in the name of Jesus.
cross across the front. Lord, we thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh God, we thank you. Oh God, we thank you. Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you for being obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. It wasn't about that you loved us, but the Father loved us, and you obeyed him and came and gave yourself for us. Thank you. We know you love us, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you that your body was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, we thank you. Praise God. After you thanked him for his body being broken for the bread, go ahead and partake of the bread. What is this juice? The New Testament in his blood. Lord, we thank you. Your blood was spilled for us, shed for us. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
After you thanked him for the cup, thanked him for him shedding his blood for you, and you're satisfied with your thanksgiving, then go ahead and take of the cup. Praise God.
Cheers.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.